Tuesday, March 24th. The first reading from Numbers chapter 21, verses 4 through 9. From Mount Hor, the children of Israel set out on the Red Sea Road to bypass the land of Edom. But with their patience worn out by the journey, the people complained against God and Moses. "Why have you brought us up from Egypt to die in this desert where there is no food or water? We are disgusted with this wretched food." In punishment, the Lord sent among the people seraph serpents, which bit the people so that many of them died. Then the people came to Moses and said, "We have sinned in complaining against the Lord and you. Pray the Lord to take the serpents away from us." So Moses prayed for the people, and the Lord said to Moses, "Make a seraph and mount it on a pole, and whoever looks at it after being bitten will live." Moses accordingly made a bronze serpent and mounted it on a pole, and whenever anyone who had been bitten by a serpent looked at the bronze serpent, he lived. Hadot Commentary. One of the princes of Edom had refused them a passage, upon which they went by Salmona to Funan, where they probably murmured and were bitten by the serpents. They had before often directed their complaints against the two brothers. Now, Aaron being no more, they attacked God himself, who had always resented the injury done to his ministers. They call the manna wretched food. Thus worldlings loathe the things of heaven, for which they have no relish. In the Blessed Eucharist, the substance of the bread is removed, and the appearances only remain, so that to the worldly receiver it seems very empty and light, though in reality it be supersubstantial, containing Christ himself, who fills the worthy communicant with grace and comfort, and enables him to go forward on the road to heaven without fainting. They are called seraph, or fiery serpents, because they that were bitten by them were burnt with a violent heat. An order of angels is also known by this name, the seraphim. The Egyptians adored a serpent which they called Serapis, and they represented their god Serapis with a serpent entwining a monstrous figure composed of a lion, a dog, and a wolf. So says Macrobius. Make a seraph and fix it upon a standard, in which form it would resemble one suspended on a cross. It was placed at the entrance of the temple, according to St. Justin Martyr. Hezekiah afterwards destroyed it because it was treated with superstitious honors. See 2 Kings 18:4. Thus the best things are often abused. God commands this image to be erected, while he forbids all images of idols. By comparing different passages of Scripture, we may discern the true import of them. Pictures may often prove very useful and instructive. They serve the ignorant instead of books. But then the ignorant must be carefully instructed not to treat them with improper respect, as St. Gregory admonishes. And is not the same caution requisite for those who read even the Word of God, lest they wrest it to their own destruction, as both the unlearned and the unstable frequently do? See 2 Peter 3:16. If everything must be rejected which is liable to abuse, what part of the creation will be spared? The Bible, the sacraments, all creatures must be laid aside. It is probable that Moses represented on the standard such a serpent as had been the instrument of death. This image was set up by God's express command. And the Book of Wisdom, chapter 16, verse 5, assures us that the effect was entirely to be attributed to him, the figure of a brazen serpent being rather calculated to increase than to remove the danger. Only those were healed who raised their hearts to God. The brazen serpent was a figure of Christ crucified and of the efficacy of a lively faith in him against the bites of the hellish serpent. So says St. Ambrose. As the old serpent infected the whole human race, Jesus Christ gives life to those that look at him with entire confidence. So says Theodoret. The brazen serpent was destitute of poison, though it resembled a most noxious animal. So Jesus Christ assumed our nature, yet without sin. The Gospel from John chapter 8, verses 21 through 30. Jesus said to the Pharisees, "I am going away, and you will look for me, but you will die in your sin. Where I am going, you cannot come." So the Jews said, "He is not going to kill himself, is he? Because he said, 'Where I am going, you cannot come.'" He said to them, "You belong to what is below. I belong to what is above. You belong to this world, but I do not belong to this world. That is why I told you that you will die in your sins. For if you do not believe that I am, you will die in your sins." So they said to him, "Who are you?" Jesus said to them, "What I told you from the beginning. I have much to say about you in condemnation. But the one who sent me is true, and what I heard from him I tell the world." They did not realize that he was speaking to them of the Father. So Jesus said to them, When you lift up the Son of Man, then you will realize that I am, and that I do nothing on my own, but I say only what the Father taught me. The one who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone, because I always do what is pleasing to him. Because he spoke this way, many came to believe in him. Haydock Commentary. I am not of this world. He speaks here of his divine person, as the words evidently show. Who art thou? Jesus' response and the construction of the text is obscure, both in the Latin and the Greek. St. Augustine thinks it must be understood, believe me to be the beginning. That they might know what they were to believe, he made them this answer as if he had said, believe me to be the beginning, the cause, the author of all things, who am now become man and speak to you. Other later interpreters are of opinion that the beginning signifies the same as at first or from the beginning. The sense therefore would be, I am what I said and told you at first and from the beginning. That is, I am your Messiah, the true Son of God, sent into the world. The Pharisees, indignant at the liberty with which Jesus spoke to them, demand of him in a rage, Who art thou to speak to us in this imperious manner, to say that we shall die in our sins? Jesus answered them that he was the beginning, author, creator, and ruler of all things. This is the more orthodox and more becoming interpretation. I am the light of the world. He that followeth me walketh not in darkness, but shall have the light of life. For Christ to hear from his Father, and to see, is the same as to proceed from him, to be of the same nature and substance. Some of the more ignorant among the Jews understood not Christ when he clearly enough signified that he was equal to God and of one and the same nature. But at other times, they that heard him perceived it very well, and so in this place, they were for stoning him to death. When you lift up the Son of Man, that is, have put me to the death of the cross, you, that is many of you, shall know and believe in me as your Messiah.